Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air with us here this evening. And also want to mention here, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can learn more about me, more about the program. You can also find out about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Of course, that's the main sponsor of the program, too. But there's a lot of links there. And there's also some articles and things that I have there, including the latest one where, I think you can figure out what it's about. The title of it is Which Came First, the Chicken or the Egg? And I address it from a biblical point of view and also from a biological point of view. And I think you might be surprised with the answer. I'll probably talk about that later in the program as well. But that's available on there as well as previous articles that you can look up and you can follow. And of course, along with that, there's some other articles that you can link to from there, and I've got a variety of them. Being June right now, they call it Pride Month. You can look at an article I wrote about a year ago called Pride Goeth Before Destruction, and then sort of a follow-up to that, The Smoke of Their Judgment. And Pride Goeth Before Destruction was June of last year, and The Smoke of Their Judgment was July of last year. And I'll probably have to put them together on our webpage here, just as it'd be our Pride Month offering, I guess, maybe like we've done with Christmas and Easter and things like that. But anyway, I hope there'll be a blessing to you and encouragement to you there. And there's a number of other articles and all, and just different topics. But again, as I said, the latest, course, is Which Came First, the Chicken or the Egg? And there's a lot of stuff happening in the news. It will touch on some of those things, but of course, got your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And in all things, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to mention a couple other things, too, here before we jump into our phone calls. We've got some callers calling in already. If you have problems listening to us online, and I know sometimes, on the air, you can always listen online at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. Or you can go online and you can download. I use this myself. There's a great app that the station has, and you can download it. It's just looking at it right here. It's AM 1420, The Answer. If you go to your wherever you get your apps on your particular phone, Google Play Store, whatever it is, but you can use that, and it works pretty good. So, at any rate, yes.
Does that get 1220 as well?
Did I do the 1421?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just wanted to make sure that we're giving
late.
Up the right info.
As a program note, I've been up since 5:30. I did get a nap in the car. I had to be in Columbus this morning before 11 o'clock and got back after 6 this evening. So,
well, I'll just nudge you if you start to doze off.
Yeah. Thank you, Kenny, jumping in there, keeping me straight. I gave you the 1420 app, right? But What do we got here? Yeah. Let me look at this again here. yeah, I clicked the wrong button as I was looking here and talking at the same time. Yeah, it's the Word 1220 AM. There we go.
Bingo.
The Word 1220 AM app. And I thought I was getting a funny face through there, but I thought, yeah, just tires one of those days. Long day. But
well,
yes.
I wasn't sure. I mean, sometimes they have them linked to where it'll be, you know, all of them.
Right, right.
Yes, want to make sure that we got the right info out.
No, that's the right one. The Word 1220 AM. You can just 1220 AM, the Word, I think is how it's actually listed. And you can find it. If you get the answer app, that's a good one, too. There's a lot of good programming on our sister station, 1420 KCHO. I listen to that one frequently myself. But anyway, yeah, AM 1220, the Word. And yeah, you'll find that on your Google Play Store or whatever. At any rate, getting back to our other things, I just want to mention two. Probably, if you like irony, and we'll get to our callers here, as I said, in just a moment, but I was going to say, I don't have any large news story to relate other than a clip that I saw online. If you like irony, Philadelphia was the place to be today. It's the Free Palestine protesters blocked the Philly Pride Parade at 11th and Locust Streets in Philadelphia today. Now, can you ask for a better headline than that? It's unbelievable. You know, well, at any rate, it's...
Oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
You are right, Kenny. You are right. Free Palestine protesters blocking the Philly Pride Parade today. Well, I mean, that just headline says it all. Hopefully a story will come out. All I got is a little clip. It shows the Pride Parade people standing around looking at these Free Palestine people who block the street. And being radio, I can't show the picture.
Now, all we need is for that to have happened in front of an abortion clinic and where you got the hat
preventing,
trick.
Preventing people from going in and getting abortions at the same
Perfect.
Time. It would have been great. And so it's just, that made my day seeing that clip, that video clip. I don't have any audio goes with it except for people going, ar-ar-ar-ar-ar-ar. It's just the pictures is worth a thousand millions of words, I guess. But do pray for our country. This is somebody commented and said, when the left eats itself. So I think that's a good example of it. But you got to find some humor in things out there. And then tomorrow, we've got a planetary alignment coming up, June the 3rd. I believe all the planets are going to be in alignment. And that happens periodically. And generally speaking, when it happens, the internet goes crazy with the end of the world stories and things like that. But it just happens periodically, but it is kind of interesting whenever it does happen. So we might touch on that a little bit more as time goes on this evening. But with that, our phone number, of course, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy waiting there for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. That was really funny. You said the Free Palestine people
Yes.
blocked the Pride Parade. That takes the cake. That's absolutely amazing.
Like I said, you can't come up with something like that on your own.
That is amazing. And I just wondered if you heard that Donald Trump was found guilty. Did you hear that this week?
Well, it's kind of hard not to. Let me tell you, I was going to an appointment Thursday late afternoon. And I was in my car, and I'm listening to the news at 5 o'clock, still nothing happening. And 5:30, they were saying something, but still nothing had happened. I got out of my car at about 5:30, and I went into my appointment. And while I was sitting there waiting for everything to get started, my cell phone starts ringing. And because nothing had quite started just yet, I answered and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to talk. And it was, they just found him guilty on 34 counts. And so I'll have to call you back. And then I hung up and my phone rang again. And I couldn't answer that one because they were getting ready to start. And then it rang again. At that time, I turned my phone off because my phone kept ringing. And so I had to wait until about an hour and a half later before I could hear the news. And actually, Nancy, if you go online to livewithpastoral.com, I have posted on there right now a program, actually two programs, Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church, who has a program on this station every Friday from 1 o'clock until 1:30. And then, of course, we're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 o'clock, followed by your pastor, Pastor Rusnacko, the Bible Baptist Temple Euclid. He comes on at 2 o'clock and goes till 2:30. But Pastor Lutz and I combined our programs this past Friday. And so if you go to livewithpastoral.com and you scroll down on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see Friday and May 31st, part one and part two. And that's what we talked about for the both programs. So about an hour's worth, in radio time, it's not exactly an hour, but.
Excuse me, I didn't have a chance to hear that, but I am definitely going to go online. Now, that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was. And then, of course, at our Bible study, our Friday night Bible study at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we have a Bible study every Friday night from 7 to
you
9.
Covered all the angles.
Yeah,
it was
so
excellent.
So we chatted quite a bit about it there, too. Yeah. You know, and hey, it's just the one thing, I think we did mention it on the radio, but I know we talked about it in our Bible study Friday night, in case people weren't aware. Now, think of this. How many counts was he found guilty on? Do you remember?
Yeah, all 34.
34 counts. Guess what happened when his servers crashed that night? So many people came on to donate money. A large number of them were first-time donations.
Yes, I heard.
And the bulk of the donations were under $100. He raised a record.
$4 million. Right?
Well, I was going to say, just that night, though, he raised $34 million. As somebody said, $1 million per charge he raised.
Uh-huh.
It's now over 54 something.
Cool.
Yeah.
$1 million per charge.
Yeah, but that night, I know now it's like 54, 55, something like that.
Connected that up. That's
it's crazy. Higher. It's higher than 55. It's going up every time you look at it. In fact, I saw somebody. Some wealthy donor said that he was going to give $1 million himself.
I heard that.
And just amazing. So,
a venture capitalist. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very interesting watching what's going on. But we do need to pray for that situation because.
Oh, absolutely. I'm praying all the time. Yeah. So anyhow, my subject tonight is something I know you've covered many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
But when I witness to people, it just happens all the time. And I say something like, do you think you're going to heaven? I mean, I have different variations that lead up to it. And they all think, I mean, I would say 90% of them, they think that they're getting to heaven by good works. And then I have this memorized Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then I have to take into account 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. So I try to paraphrase Ephesians 2:8-9, but people still seem to think, and then they go on and on about their good works. So do you have any really special pet phrases that you say to people when they think they're going to heaven by their good works?
Well,
If you have any comment on that, thank you.
Yeah, there's two things that I would look at, and basically, people going by their good works, they're going because they're saying I'm good, I'm not that bad, And the problem with that is in Romans 3 and verse 10, it says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. None that doeth good, no, not one. Goes on to describe them. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they've used deceit. Poison of asps was under their lips, whose mouth was full of cursing and bitterness. And it goes on talking about this, and it comes down to verse 18. It says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And then it says in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But basically, he's saying none good, no, not one. We're all guilty. And then, of course, it goes on to talk about how God justifies us, you know, despite our sin, and talks about Christ as a Savior. So Romans chapter 3 is an excellent chapter to look into.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. The other thing that I was going to say is over in Revelation chapter, let me get turned over here, chapter number 20, and let's see, Revelation chapter 20. And, I'm sorry, 21, and verse number 8, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, and this is sort of a thinking or a logical thing for people to consider. And and actually, the first thing that it says, there's a great verse in John 3:18 that it relates to. But he says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, the question then would be, how many people do you have to kill to become a murderer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just one.
Just one. You kill one person, you become a murderer. How many idols do you have to worship to become an idolater?
Just one.
Just one, be an idolater. So how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar?
Just one.
Well, you know, it has to be a certain number, and they have to be lies designed to fool or take advantage of people. No, it doesn't say that. It just says liars.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same thing like with the rest of them, fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. You only have to be guilty of each of those one time to have that name applied to you. So you only have to commit or give one lie to be a liar. And
right.
So when somebody says they're good enough, and the Bible says that there's none good, no, not one, well, they're lying to themselves, and they're lying to you. If they believe their lie, then they fooled themselves, but they're certainly not fooling God. And the other thing that I said, that there's a part here in the beginning that relates to John 3:18. I'm going to hold my finger in Revelation and go back to John 3:18 because I'll read it. And when I read it, you'll see what part of this passage in Revelation relates to it. In John chapter 3, Gospel of John, in verse number 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you catch what he's saying there?
Good.
There has to be an act of faith on your part, on my part, in order to be born again. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't even have to be a liar. You don't even have to murder sin. You don't have to sin in order to already be condemned if you've never put your faith in Christ. And so that's why it says in Revelation 21 and verse 8, the unbelieving. The unbelieving have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
So unbelieving, because they believe, they don't believe God. They don't believe his word. Mm-hmm. So You know, those are,
well, people can say that, you know, they believe in God, but they haven't really, you know, they don't really have a real relationship.
Right, right. The devils believe and they tremble, the Bible says. And,
yeah, that's for sure.
Well,
but give me some really good verses there.
Yeah.
That's a good note.
Yeah. So that idea in John 3:18 is that there has to be a time when you put your faith in Christ as your Savior. Let me share something. I got back from Columbus today just in time to, I had a short message, and maybe because I didn't have as much time to study for this one as I normally did, I didn't go in as many rabbit trails as I might have, but I was in Proverbs chapter 28 this evening at our church in verse number 13, and just a short verse. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And I said, here's the problem. When somebody covers up their sin, it's not going to benefit them. They're not going to prosper. You know, look at what Adam and Eve did when they tried to cover the effects of their sin with the fig leaves they sewed together and hiding in the garden. It didn't benefit them in any way, shape, or form. But here's the next thing. "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You have to go from saying, I'm going to try and cover up my sins. And that's what people who are dependent on their good works are doing. They're covering up their sins like Adam and Eve did with their good works. And when he says, "whoso confesseth," that means you say, you know what? My good works aren't enough. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell.
That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's a second part to that, "whoso confesseth," and then it says, "and forsaketh them."
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you have to be willing to turn your back on your sin, turn your back on your attempts to cover up your sin, turn your back on even the good works that you think make up for it, and say, you know what, Lord, none of that does any good at all. I am turning to you and embracing you as the only Savior. Because the only thing that's going to cover your sin is the blood of Christ. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about without the remission or shedding of blood, there's no remission, meaning, you know, remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. And the idea is when they shed the blood of an innocent animal, starting with the innocent animal that God killed to take its skin to make coverings for Adam and Eve, there's always been this principle here, the blood atonement, and the blood of the animals was only a temporary covering until Christ came and shed his own blood. And that's the only thing that can cover sin and you prosper. Mm-hmm. It's when your sin's under the blood of Christ. And then you can be used for his glory to do the things that, you know, bring glory and honor to him. And but it takes confessing your sin and forsaking them, turning your back on them, and turning your back on anything you think is going to be good enough, such as your own good works, and putting your faith in Christ, and he will have mercy on you. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. Not might be, but shall be. So when you're willing to do this, he says he'll have mercy on you, and your sin will be covered up. So,
amen, and that's a good salvation message for anybody that is listening that perhaps has not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So
right.
Thank you for covering it so well.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, Nancy.
Have a good night.
Thank you, too.
Thank
God bless. Thank you for calling this evening. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We've got Terry calling in, and Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening.
Well, good evening. We got you on early tonight. How about that?
Yes. That helps because sometimes earlier the better because I got to get up early in the morning to work. But
yeah,
I'm still up late though most of the time.
but till
midnight anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you calling in tonight.
Now, last week when you mentioned about the shooting at the school in Toronto, it was in Toronto.
Yes.
And it was just fortunately nobody got hurt in that incident. But there's a lot of, and then there was other places around too that people have been shooting schools, Jewish schools.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the the acts of anti-Semitic attacks, and not just talking about, you know, saying mean things, but, you know, actually shooting and attacking and bomb threats and things like that, it's just been skyrocketing. It really has been.
Right.
And it's not just in the United States and Canada, but it's worldwide.
Yeah, there's a lot of hatred of what's going on, but
yes,
you know, Israel still has the right to defend themselves, and you know what Hamas has done is they need to be taken out.
Yeah,
and I agree that they
are coming close to that end game there, but attacks from Hezbollah in the north are right. Increasing dramatically. So those things are increasing quite a bit as well.
Right. Yeah, I could. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot to be said about all that. But I was studying about the resurrection.
Yes.
The proof of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection.
Yes.
But I could never understand why they believed it. Is it like, it's not because of Jesus?
I think there's two reasons why they believed it. One reason is many of the Pharisees, even though they rejected Christ, really knew that he fulfilled all of the scripture. I mean, these people were not ignorant. And remember Paul. At first, he was going by the name of Saul, and when he met Christ, God changed his name to Paul, from Saul to Paul. And he was a rabbi, and he was a Pharisee, if I remember correctly. And
right.
And he, when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he was talking about the idea of the ox goad, a sharp stick, maybe with a piece of glass or bone on the end of it, or sharp stone, and they would poke the ox with it to get him moving. When he wouldn't move, he would poke him with it, or he'd go in the wrong direction, he'd give him a poke. And he was talking about Paul's conscience was poking him. When he saw, for instance, Stephen martyred for his testimony for Christ, and he saw others who were beaten and thrown in jail for their testimony of Christ, what Jesus was telling him, it was hard for him to kick against that goading, that pricking of his conscience when he saw that. And as an educated, learned man, he knew the scriptures, and he knew he could not refute the scriptural claims that they were making. So many of them knew that, but they chose to reject him because they loved the things of this world and the position that they had under the Roman government more. Because, in fact, at one point they were afraid that the Romans would come and take away their position if they didn't stomp down on this. So that's one reason that I say that they would have known, many of them. And the other simply is, remember when Jesus rose from the dead and the tomb was open, the angel rolled the stone away to reveal the empty tomb, and the guards that were there in Matthew, they go into town, they see some of the Pharisees, you know, or some of the, you know, the Jewish leaders that had hired them, asked for the guard the tomb, and they told them what happened. And remember what they did. The Bible says that they gave them large money in order to go and tell people that they fell asleep, and his disciples came and stole the body away. Now, why would they have done that if they didn't believe that he rose from the dead? I mean, they gave him this money because they knew something happened, and so as a consequence, they wanted to squelch it by paying these people. Plus, the other thing with that, when you think about it, the idea that these Roman guards had fallen asleep and slept so soundly while on guard duty that the disciples could sneak in there and pry the rock away and not wake them up. That's just ludicrous. They would have been executed for their failure. And it says in Matthew 28, and I know we got just less than a minute for the break if you want to hold. It says, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, verse 13. And then he says, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And verse 12 that I didn't read said they gave him large money, which means they probably gave him enough to retire on. And let's come back to that after the break, if you could, Terry. And hold on there. And if you keep listening, we've got another hour and a half to go. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back in just a short time. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now, let's get back to our program. Well, good evening and welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll join us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can look at some of the articles that I have on there, including the latest article that I just posted yesterday, I think it was, or earlier this morning. I think it was real early this morning, if it was this morning. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And I think you might be surprised what the biblical answer to that is. And if you know a little biology and you know a little Bible, you can find the correct answer. And just a warning, may not be what you think it is. But I may talk about that a little later in the program as well. But also there's other things that are available there, and you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And certainly we invite you to visit us. We had some information on that. We'll have some more at the top of the hour later on in the program. But just let me encourage you to come out and visit us sometime. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, and then through the Bible, or the Book of Proverbs, on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. And then we have our Friday evening Bible study, which is always interesting and different topics that we come up with. People bring the questions and the topics, and we follow what's happening in the world and just to look at what the Bible has to say. And it's sort of like we do on the radio, looking at what the Bible has to say, questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. So check it all out at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also visit our one of our other sponsors. Of course, Bible Baptist Church is our main sponsor, but we have East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And you will enjoy that pizza. It's my favorite pizza. I mean, it's just if they didn't help sponsor the program, I'd still eat East Coast Pizza. It's that good. How's that? Is that a good way to put it? I don't know. Kenny, what do you think about East Coast Pizza?
It's delicious. I love it.
There we go. I mean, what better ringing endorsement do we have there? And I started him with a piece of three-day-old pizza that had been sitting in my refrigerator.
And it was fantastic.
Yes. How often can you get pizza that does that when you heat it up almost as good as when it came out of the oven in the first place? It's great. And if you are at all interested, perhaps in even establishing your own pizza business, you can give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And talk to Gus, and he'll get you started. And not a franchise, be your own business. Or you can add pizza to an existing restaurant lineup or something like that. Just call 216-341-9100. Talk to Gus. That's East Coast Pizza. If you were listening last week, Gus actually called in on the program. And it was a blessing to have him call in. And East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, Garfield Heights. Let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back into our callers, and we were talking with Terry before the break, and we were talking about the idea of the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and lawyers and such that were there at the time of Christ, and what they thought of him and the resurrection in particular. And Terry, are you still with us there?
Yes.
Yeah, so we were in Matthew chapter 28, and I looked at that during the break again because I just kind of turned to it while we were talking and just picked out a few things. But there's a couple of things, and remember, just to review real quick in case somebody's just joining us, you had asked the question about if the Pharisees, if they believed in the resurrection, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and so we were looking at that, and I said there's a couple of reasons why I don't believe that they were ignorant of the resurrection. I think they believed it. And one of them, I said, is that they were afraid the Romans would take away their position. And we can see that in John chapter 11, where it says here, I'm going to start in verse 45. It says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doth many miracles. If we let him alone,'" this is the key in verse 48, John 11, verse 48, "'if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. See what their fear was? They had a good thing going, and they did not want to lose that. They were afraid that they would lose their position. And so they end up conspiring. They want to be able to kill Jesus. And so I think that they knew that he matched the scriptural prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures of the coming of the Messiah. And of course, those same prophecies also prophesied of his resurrection. And so I think when Jesus rose again, they knew the scriptures, just like the Apostle Paul before he became a believer in Christ. He knew the scriptures, and that's why Jesus told him on the road to Damascus that it's hard to kick against the pricks, meaning the goading of his conscience that was pricking him in his heart. And he would see, and the scriptures would come to mind in knowing that Jesus had to be the Messiah, and so that they were waiting for. And so when we come back to Matthew chapter 28, in verse 11, it says, "Now when they were going," meaning the people that saw the empty tomb, it says, "Behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders," and that would be the Sanhedrin council there, "and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Now, they had to be aware that the tomb was empty. Because large money, you know, that's kind of a you know, sort of broad term, but you have to think about it. It had to be enough money that these soldiers were willing to risk being executed for falling asleep on guard duty.
And that would be considered hush money, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, very definitely. But they had to offer them enough that they were looking at the amount of money being offered them and considering the money that they were going to get with the risk of being executed, and they had to look at that money and say, you know what, this is pretty good. With this money, we can leave the military. We can go wherever we want. We can do whatever we want. And not only did they offer a huge sum of money to the soldiers, they said, and don't worry about it. If the governor hears about this, well, what did they say there? It says, we will persuade him and secure you, which I think translates to, we'll have a chat with him and we're going to offer him some money too. So,
yeah, so it all boiled down to money.
Yeah. But what I was going to say with this is, if they really didn't believe in the resurrection, why'd they offer these huge sums of money and then tell them to go tell people that we fell asleep and the disciples came and stole his body while we were sleeping? Why didn't they just go back to the tomb and say, well, look, it's empty. I mean, it's not empty. There's the body right there. Or go and arrest the disciples right then and say, okay, you guys have the body of Christ. What'd you do with it? But none of that happened. Instead, they spend huge sum of money bribing people to risk the death penalty to say, well, we fell asleep and the disciples stole his body.
Unfortunately for them, unless they repent, which I don't think they probably did.
Right.
Well, maybe, hopefully they did, but I don't
know. Yeah. Some of the soldiers may have eventually.
And they spend their internal life in separation from God for all eternity.
One of the Pharisees that may have been there, though he's not mentioned by name, the Apostle Paul, may have been, you know, there or known of what was going on. He certainly repented, at least. But again, the whole idea, if they did not believe the tomb was empty, then why would they have come up with such huge sums of money? They paid because I think they knew that Jesus was the Christ, and that the tomb was empty, because the prophecies, the same prophecies that told them that he was the Christ, also told them that he would rise from the dead, and that the tomb would be empty. So I think they knew it. They just didn't want it to be so, because they were afraid that the Romans would come and take away, as they said, their position there. It was that they said, yeah, take away our place in our nation.
And they had the same problem with all the rest of the apostles too, and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I just got finished reading Acts. I just studied Acts for quite a long time, and everywhere Paul went, they always tried to accuse him of something he didn't even do.
And
that's how he ended up in Rome.
Solomon said, "There's nothing new under the sun." We're still seeing that today, aren't we?
Yeah, and there's no change, and it all boils down to money, and it's the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to lose their, like you said, like some pastors here. I think they know what the truth is, but they're afraid that they're going to lose their position too.
Oh yeah,
if they start telling people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of telling people the truth, they tell people what they want to hear.
Yeah, and see, their position and their gives them the power and the ability to get money.
Right.
So
and they get it by saying, "Well, give to us, and you'll be doing the right thing. You'll be blessed."
Yes.
But it's the same thing today. It's the same thing is happening.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Solomon said, "There's nothing new under the sun." You know, the names and the faces might change, but same things. Even some of the methodology might alter a little bit, but it's the same principles oftentimes and the same motivations.
Yeah, and but Paul went through a lot in his ministry.
Yes.
Shipwrecked, beaten, for things he didn't even do.
Falsely accused, and we see that.
Falsely accused of breaking the law.
Yeah.
Or going against the law. He went to the Jewish synagogue,
mm-hmm.
and spoke with them.
Yeah,
and he didn't go against their laws.
No, he used the proper methodology. I mean, he followed what you did when you went into the synagogues. He didn't go in and interrupt the services and jump up and say, "Jesus is the Messiah." He waited until there was a time in the services where they would bring out some of the scrolls or something, and they would ask if somebody has something that they would like to share. They could read part of the scriptures, and they could share something. And that's when he would get up, and he would share some of the scriptures, the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. And then he would say, "This was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ," and he would give them the evidence for it. And that was exactly the right way to do it.
Yeah, and people had the opportunity to speak, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
That opportunity.
Yeah, and people would ask him questions, and some, the Bible says, some
believe,
some wanted to know more later, and then some of course, mocked. And right. We still see much of that today.
He never went against the law or the prophets.
No.
Because Jesus came to fulfill,
mm-hmm,
the law and the prophets, not to take away from the law or the prophets.
Right.
So Paul did exactly what he was told to do,
mm-hmm,
according to the law.
Yeah. Well, and Paul was certainly a very highly educated, rabbi and Pharisee. Sat under the feet of, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Gamaliel, I believe was the guy's name.
Yeah, Gamaliel.
He was one of the most respected and revered teachers of his day.
Yeah, teachers of his day, yeah. Like, he really knew the Bible,
mm-hmm,
the Old Testament and there. Not the New Testament.
Yeah, and this is who Paul sat under. And
yeah, he knew the law better than probably most of them did.
Yeah. So, it's that's why, again, as I said, when Jesus said in the Damascus Road, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks," because he knew the scriptures, and he knew that what he was hearing from these believers when they were persecuted, that it was in accordance with the Old Testament, the scriptural prophecies. At his time, they didn't have the New Testament yet.
Jesus came to Paul and said, why are you persecuting me, Paul?
Right.
Because yeah. I think you know, Jesus knew that he was persecuted.
Yeah, and I think what was going on is Paul was struggling because he's hearing these things, and I believe that Paul was sincere. He really thought that these people that he was rounding up and chasing down, that they were heretics, and he was protecting his people, his nation, his faith. He was doing the right thing. And yet, at the same time, every time he did this, there was this little nagging thing where he was saying, you know, what if they're right? Because in actuality, they claim that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And that's what the prophet Micah said. You know, they claim that it was a virgin birth, that Mary had no earthly, you know, there was no earthly father. She was found with child. And, you know, the prophet Isaiah said that that's what would happen. And as all those things took place, you know, this is going on in his mind, in his heart. He's going over these things. And I believe people are praying for him. And eventually, there on the Damascus Road, he just fell on his face and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Right. And he was blinded for a short period of time, too.
Yeah.
Then he received his sight.
Yeah, I always thought it was humorous, the guy that comes up when he's told, you know, by Jesus to go and to, you know, lay hands on him and all that. And he's like, well, this is, you know, you mean Saul, the guy that's been persecuting all the Christians? It's like Jesus is like, the angel says, yeah, that's the guy. And then when he gets to Paul, it's like, you know, the Lord, you know, the same one that appeared to you on the Damascus Road sent me.
And he was a Pharisee, I believe, even to the end.
Yeah, because just before going to Rome, remember, he appealed and said...
Gamaliel.
Yeah, but what did he call himself? He said, I'm a Pharisee, son...
Pharisees.
What's that?
A Pharisee of some Pharisees?
Yeah, something to that, along those lines. And there became an argument between the Sadducees and the Pharisees there, because... He talked about the resurrection, if I remember correctly. I'm just skimming back through here, seeing if I can see it real quick. And when they got into an argument there, it was the Sadducees. Yeah, the way you can always figure out the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Somebody said, the Pharisees believe in an afterlife, believe in life after death. The Sadducees do not. That's why they're Sadducees. See, here it is in Acts chapter 23. It says here, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And, that is really kind of interesting when you read that. Paul was a smart guy. He was wise. You know, not just smart, intelligent. He was wise. He saw what was going on, and he basically said, I'm a Pharisee, the son of the Pharisees, of a Pharisee, and I'm called into question of the hope and the resurrection of the dead. And that set him off right there, because the Sadducees did not believe in those things.
So.
Yeah, and the Sadducees were the ones that were trying to make up stories about him, wasn't it?
And some of the Pharisees were too, of course, but because that all came down to what we were talking about before. They were afraid that Romans would come in, take away their place and their nation. Right. And
that's why they did that. And it's interesting that the Romans took Paul away safely.
Yeah, initially they were going to interrogate him. And by scourging, and he said, I'm a Roman citizen. And so they apologized because they weren't allowed to do that. Roman citizenship had its privileges, and Paul was a Roman citizen. And so as a consequence, there are occasions where he used some wisdom and discretion, and he used the privilege of being a Roman citizen. Just like he used this statement, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, in order to, prevent himself from being killed or lynched or falsely convicted or something. So Paul really very intelligent defense of himself many occasions reading the book of Acts. So
I believe that's the reason why the Lord called Paul.
Yeah, he had a very unique position because as a Jewish man and a student of the scripture, a rabbi and a Pharisee, son of a Pharisee, he was uniquely qualified in terms of the biblical knowledge. But then as a Roman citizen, he had certain privileges and abilities that granted him safety and the ability to travel throughout the Roman Empire doing the work that God called him to do. So, yeah.
And that was to reach out to the Gentiles.
Right, right. And, of course, many of the Jewish people as well, because remember, he would go first to the synagogues where the Jews were gathered, and then he would go to the Gentiles because, generally speaking, a lot of the Jews would reject the message.
That's one reason why they were upset, because he was bringing the Gentiles into the accused. Of bringing the Gentiles into the
temple, which of course had not happened. So, hey Terry, we're coming up on the break here, got about a minute or so left. This is good, and I'm glad you spent some time reading through the book of Acts. Acts is a great book. It's a great transition between the Gospels, and then what we see the next thing that takes place, of course, after Acts is what we call the Pauline epistles, the writings of Paul. And so, the Gospels give us the life of Christ and what Christ did to establish what we have today. And Acts gives you kind of that transition as they went out. And then when you get into the Pauline epistles and the rest of the New Testament, you're getting the instructions for what we're supposed to do now. So it's kind of interesting.
Even when he was in jail, how much love he had for people.
Absolutely. Praying for people that imprisoned him and still sharing the gospel. So, hey Terry, I want to thank you again for the call. We're going to take a break here and appreciate that. I know we'll be talking again, but stay tuned. We got another hour to go tonight.
During the Cold War, pictures depicting Jesus Christ in workman's coveralls holding a hammer and sickle crossed over his chest were circulated throughout Latin America, promoting liberation theology by proclaiming Jesus was a communist. Liberation theology, birthed in the bowels of the KGB headquarters in Moscow, was an effort to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. At the same time, communists and their leftist sympathizers infiltrated Christian seminaries and churches throughout North America and Europe. Again, the goal was to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. Today, we see the fruit of those efforts. Churches that should be sounding the alarm against communism are either silent or promoting it. God says, "Come out from among them." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders are sounding the alarm.